My father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, it's written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and all the way, and every little bird and flower are testimonies to. It took a miracle to put those stars in place. It took a miracle.
And he continues to manifest those miracles in our lives today. How glad we are for him. Amen. Let us go back to the third chapter of Colossians this morning. Colossians 3. And let's begin with verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We would continue these messages with Christ's life within me, as we read there in verse 4, Christ who is our life. As we mentioned, there are a number of characteristics to this new life that God wants to make manifest in me. Today, I want to speak on affection As we find in verse 1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. We have stated it for quite some time and many, many different times that when God created us, He did not create us as robots. Men are not simply programmed to go through the motions, so to speak. But we find out that God created us to be ruled really by our affection. Jesus said it this way in John 14, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And we find out that this is the affection that we are indeed concerned with in our lives. We have stated over and over that men do what they want to do. Again, that's the way God created us. The secret is to have the right want to have the right desire. Because men are going to follow their desires, be they wrong or be they right. Now we know that the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That includes our old desires. And we have seen it. We have proved it in our own lives that many of the desires that we had long ago before we were born again, they have dropped off. They've been replaced with the new desires which are in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants in our lives, that we be controlled and that we be motivated by those new desires, by that new life. We'll see more of this a little bit later on as we go on, but I want to use Jesus as the example for the right desire that is in my life. If we find here that Christ, who is my life, if He is allowed in my experience to show forth, those desires that He had are going to be followed. And so you will notice the desires of Jesus. He was motivated. He was driven by desire. Psalm 69 says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. We see that there, I believe it's in John 4, when he cleansed the temple. He was motivated by that zeal or by that desire, by that passion that he had for the Lord. Psalm 40, which we again will see later. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy will is all the will of God. And he says, I delight in it. Not something, well, I guess it's okay. He had a passion for it. He was obsessed with the will of God. And this is the delight and the desire that God wants to have in our lives. We read here in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. As we saw last week, being risen with Christ is true of every person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul is going much further than that. He is talking about more than just the new birth. He is speaking of experience. He's speaking of people who indeed have been born again, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they are literally living and feeling and being motivated by the resurrection power of Christ. He must be driven by the very desires of Christ. And so seek those things above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. It is your desire. The fact of the matter is this. If we are truly, I mean experimentally, living our lives as risen with Christ, living by the resurrection life of Christ, we will have the same affection, the same desire that Jesus did. You can tell a lot about your spiritual experience and development and value by what you desire. What desires, what likes, what affections do you actually have? And if they are still associated with desires and the affections of the flesh, it means something has to change.
You must find your place as being risen with Christ. Begin to believe God to change those affections within you. And sometimes that can be a very painful operation. But God must fix it where we are driven by the very life of Jesus. Now we find the same exhortation as we read here, seek those things which are above, set your affections on things above. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first. He's talking about all of those things that we desire in this life, the food and the clothing and all of these things that are necessities in life. We understand that. God knows that. He created us to have those needs. But he said this, seek you first. It means make this a priority. Make this preeminent in your life. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things he will add to it. He knows what we need. He knows we need food to eat. He knows we need clothing to wear. He will take care of those if we put first things first. Jesus answered one of the scribes this way, who had asked him, well, what's the first commandment? What do we need to really be concerned about? Mark 12:29, Jesus said this, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Put your affection, put your attention on him. And then thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the first commandment. That's the preeminent commandment. Love him with everything that is in your being. I want to pursue for just a little while today, ask the question, what were the desires of Jesus when he came into this world? We remember the first thing, sure that we have heard it many times, we'll not turn there, but remember in the second chapter of Luke, when his parents took him up to the Passover, and then they were ready to go home. They thought he was in the crowd. He wasn't, so they went back, I believe it was about 3 days later, and found him, and he was in the temple. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? This is what I want to encourage us with. I'd like to encourage the young people with this. 12 years old, Jesus already had the desire to be about his Father's business. Go through the scripture and look at some of these young people who found this desire early. We find it in Joseph. We find it in David. We find it in Samuel. And all of those went on to be tremendous men of God. I cannot impress on us the importance of seeking God early in our lives, of having our affection, of being controlled by the very affection and desire of Christ, even at 12 years old. If you do that, young people, it's the greatest preparation you can have for your teen years to stay out of trouble. The desires of Christ will keep you out of trouble. And there is no substitute for that in our world today. And so, it was Jesus who said that I must be about my Father's business. John 8:29 says this, I do always those things that please him. Why? Because he had the desire to do so. John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, that's the desire he had, even above natural food, is to do the will of God. Job had learned that same lesson years earlier when he said, I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. That is an option that cannot be lacking in our lives if we are going to be filled with this life of Christ and the affection
that indeed he had and has for his Father. I want to turn back to the 50th chapter of Isaiah. We have spoken from time to time on the fact that when Jesus came into the world, he was not a full-grown man. And Jesus had to go through the process of learning just like anyone else. We read, I believe, there in Hebrews where it says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus learned in this life exactly as we do by the various experiences. And I want to notice a little bit of that experience here as we read in Isaiah 50. And you will notice verse 7 to begin with. The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. This tells us of the commitment that Jesus had to what his Father wanted to do. As he said, I always do those things which please my Father. And so it was set, his face set like a flint. That was his desire. That was his training. Indeed, his obsession is to do what God wanted him to do. And if you check that from the 9th chapter of Luke, you will find it says just exactly that, that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew that crucifixion was waiting for him in Jerusalem, but his face was set to go. As Isaiah said here, set like a flint, it was not going to be changed. And so that's because that Jesus was indeed controlled by desire. So his face was set like a flint. He would not be deterred, so to speak. What we want to understand, because this is what we want in our lives, how did he get to that place? He knew what he came to do. He knew at a very young age he must be about his Father's business. We don't know when he became aware of the details of what that business was. We know that Simeon told his mother the prophecy of the cross. Whether she shared that with him, we do not know. When he understood it, we don't know. But it makes no difference. When he found it out, he was still ready to go on and to accomplish his Father's business. Let's back up to verse 4 here in Isaiah 50. And we read these words. And as we read them, I want to realize that we must keep this same pattern in mind for our own lives. As we read in verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. In order to have the tongue of the learned, you must be willing to learn. Jesus had to be open to understand and to know and to be instructed in the lessons that his Father had to teach. And so he's given me the tongue of the learned. Then you will notice that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We've seen the pattern before. In order for us to give something to someone else, we have to receive it for ourselves first. We have to be the learner or the disciple first. And then we are able to receive his lessons, his instruction, and indeed pass it on to others. Notice further, he wakeneth morning by morning. I believe that was literal. I believe that God woke him morning by morning. It should be that way in our lives, that we are open to what God wants to accomplish rather than having everything all laid out and it must be this way. I don't mean that we don't need a routine to our lives. We have jobs to do and things of this nature. We are talking about an attitude of heart, letting the Lord wake us up to what he wants to do during our day, be we at work or somewhere else. And so we find he wakeneth morning by morning. Notice further, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learning. There is no substitute for the hearing ear if we are going to receive what God
has for us. Verse 5, the Lord has opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The only reason Jesus could do that is because he was obsessed with the desire to fulfill the will of God. Do always those things that please him. Delighted to do the will of God. And this is the affection. This is the desire that God indeed must see in our lives. Exactly the same as it was in the life of the Lord Jesus. Let us turn to Psalm 40 for a little bit more of a specific information in this matter. Psalm 40. This psalm is often called the burnt offering psalm. And the reason for that is because the burnt offering was fully given to God, all burned to the Lord. It speaks of the absolute and full commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father's will. And I want to notice that it is the same pattern in our lives. Notice, I waited patiently for the Lord. And that is the first step for us to gaining this desire that we must have, for us carrying out and accomplishing what God wants to do. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth. We can easily see this as Jesus waiting for his Father to raise him from the dead. He could not do that on his own. He was fully committed unto the Lord. He committed his spirit into the hands of his Father, knowing that he was full well able to take care of it. And now he says, I waited patiently for him, and he inclined unto me. He brought me out of the horrible pit. He brought me up from the dead. He brought me up in newness and resurrection of life. He set my feet upon this rock. He established my going, put a new song in my mouth. That's all through of Christ. But I want to notice the same parallel in our lives because he did the same thing for us. We could not produce the new birth in ourselves. We could not gain the life of Christ for ourselves. This is something he had to do. And so I waited for him to do it. He brought me up out of the pit from sin and corruption and degradation and all of these things. He brought me up out of that, and he put my feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, in resurrection. I have been risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. We follow exactly the same pattern that Jesus did. And we also have that new song of victory. Now go down to verse 6. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Where Christ was concerned, that means that God came to the place where he could no longer accept those Old Testament sacrifices and offerings. They had run their course. They were no good anymore. So sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Just as we had in Isaiah 50, he wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakens my ears to hear. And this is what Jesus heard. This is what God wanted for his life. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sacrifice thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And then he adds these words, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I say to us today, this is exactly the same pattern that he wants in our lives. Many people think that he is so interested in their sacrifices and all of the things, humanitarian things they would do for men and all of these things. There are many things and many gifts that God can use for the furtherance of the gospel, for the benefit of the body. But what he really wants is us. Just as he wanted the complete body of Christ surrendered unto his will, that is what he wants in my life. We say again, this life that we have at the new birth is the life of Christ. It has exactly the same desire that it always did, and that is to please God, just as Jesus did. This is what my life must become, a life that is absolutely obsessed with pleasing God, because it's the same life of Christ, and that's the very essence of that life. And so as we read here, we realize sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. But you will notice, burnt offering and sin offering you've not required. I come to do, in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's the same thing in our lives. It is according to the word of God. This is what delights the heart of God more than anything. And it must be our delight as we read, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And you will notice, thy law is within my heart. It is God's word that is responsible for those desires. And so I can say to us today, if you want your desires to change, just begin to saturate yourself with the Word of God. God's Word has a power that is absolutely unbelievable. And He will literally change our affections and our desires to be like unto those of Christ. And so I delight to do thy will, O my God. Then he says in verse 9, I've preached righteousness unto the great congregation. I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. You see, once God has that will, once God has that desire, then we are able to become such a tremendous blessing unto other people. This glorious state that God wants to bring us to, how we get there, is seen in other parts of the scripture. Psalm 119:10 says it this way, with my whole heart have I sought thee. The heart is the desire, the seat of the affections. This is what God wants. With all my desire, then I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandment. Colossians 3:22, that's the same chapter that we began with this morning. Verse 23 says it this way, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. And then he adds this, and not unto men. It is our hearts that must be absolutely obsessed with that desire to delight. As he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And then again in Mark 12:30, as we've already seen, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first, or this is the preeminent commandment. This is what must govern our lives, because we conduct ourselves, we conduct our business in this world because of desire. We must have the right.
And so this, all of these things, that's the same affection, that's the same desire that Jesus had. And these same characteristics of divine love must be, I say must be, on display in my life in order that Jesus live the life that God intended him to live in this mortal body. He has become my life, and there is no substitute for that if I'm going to have the right affection. Because if you have the right affection, if you have the right desire, I can guarantee you, you will do the right thing.